Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. And welcome to the 263rd show of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Today's show is entitled Into 2018 We Go. And thanks for joining me today on your community radio station. The website is moneymanagementradio.com. And everything there is a grata, our way of saying thank you to listening to your community radio station. And we do not only investing in money, we do an investing in community. And yeah, as you know, we do a video series on investing in community, and we talk about investing in your body and in your garden and in community around us. We have a lot of nonprofits on the air today. And today is no exception. I've invited the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Nevada County to come in and speak to us today. I'm with Gordon Beatty, Board President, and Linda Shasipin, event coordinator. And Linda and I go back a little bit. We've done some work on the World Fest together when she was with the Center for the Arts. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Welcome. For
having us. Thank you.
So, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, yeah. I was a Big Brother 1980 something. I don't know. And as I mentioned, my little brother is now 40.
Wow.
Yeah, we still keep in touch. He's really been a joy and real pleasure. So I think a lot of people know what Big Brothers and Big Sisters do, but in your own words, give us an idea of the program.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here at KVMR with Gordon. And so let me give you a quick update on what Big Brothers Big Sisters does. So it is one of the oldest charities in America, and it was founded by a court clerk who realized that there were lots of young men coming through his system who needed some guidance. And so back over 100 years ago, he formed a group of 40 men, him included, and each one of them took under their wing a young person. And he realized very quickly that having a role model in these young people's lives was changing their life truly for the better. And then over the years, a similar thing happened with girls. And so eventually, not that long ago, maybe 40, 50 years ago, Big Brothers and Big Sisters joined together. So we have women in our organization who mentor young girls and men who mentor young boys.
Now,
that's what it's about.
You call them... I was never called a big, but just a big brother. So
no.
They're bigs and they're littles.
Usually it's the size that designates that, but sometimes the littles are actually bigger than the bigs as you get older children in the program. But you're right, yes, the bigs are the big brothers and big sisters, and the littles are the little brothers and little sisters.
Yeah, my little definitely is bigger than me now. But we kept in contact every year, and he's now down in Mexico.
Great.
And he's offered us a house that he built for us to come down and stay. And I haven't seen him in 23 years. So I know. I've seen him on Facebook and other places. So we are doing an article on you, and we're doing a film on you.
Yes.
I tried to coordinate me meeting up with him for the first time in a quarter of a century on camera, that we can't seem to get that together in time. But we're going to do it via Skype. So I'm going to film that. So this month is?
National Mentoring Month.
Perfect.
It is perfect.
Okay. So describe the characteristics, age, what you're looking for in a little, in somebody that might need mentoring.
Gordon.
Just about anybody can be a little. It doesn't have to be from a difficult family situation. It could be just someone needs someone else in their lives that add to their experience. helps with, could help with education, could help with expanding their activities, their interests. And that's real key, is getting a match between a big and a little who have similar interests.
Mm-hmm. What's the age group now?
We go from grammar school through high school.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference how old they are in relationship to each other. Just for my example, mm-hmm. my little brother is 60 years younger than me.
Wow. Okay. Do they move out of the program at 18 officially?
Officially, they do, but they never lose contact. We have many of our bigs still, just like you, in our community that still have their littles in their lives, and they're also, one of them has a 40-year-old in his life.
There you go. Yeah, I think we started at age 15, and we were supposed to go a year, but we just kind of just kept going until 22,
that's what we always hope.
It was pretty cool. Okay, and then describe the bigs. You kind of did in a way, but yeah. There's no age limitation. They have to be over 18, I guess.
Yeah, just over 18, and they can be just have the time, which isn't huge, but have enough time to share and be a friend to a little.
And what is the time commitment, let's say the minimum and the average time commitment that you see in the relationship?
The minimum is we try for once a week, mm-hmm. For an hour, but my little and I get together maybe at least once a week, and sometimes more, and for a lot of time more than an hour, mm-hmm. because we have something we want to do in common, and so we do those things.
And when you meet with a little, I kind of already know, but what people would say, well, what do you do?
We get to do a lot of things. A lot of times it's the little's idea, and sometimes it's the big's idea, and sometimes we just share stuff and then go do them. My little loves to go to 49er Fun Park.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay.
And he has not lost to me in running the cars around the course either.
That's great. And the parent never comes along?
No, it's always just the child and the big.
Okay. And I guess some might be listeners out there that are wondering, do you get any littles with two parents? That two parents living in the home and they still need a mentor?
Yes, you do.
And what sort of, if we have people out there that have a family and they have a young ones, what would they, if they would ask you, well, why do I need the program, or do they pretty much know that they need someone to come in?
In most cases, the parents are looking for help.
I see, okay.
Or the grandparents or whoever it is are mm-hmm. looking for that other voice just to lend a hand.
And how many in this county? I know you have the main office is in Truckee.
No, we have our offices are both Truckee and here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the total in the program. You remember?
160.
Yeah,
something like that.
Those are kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
Do you have enough mentors?
No, we never do.
We need more men mentors.
More men mentors. Yes. And is that because men don't do it, or because there's more teenage boys or younger boys that need guidance?
About a little of both.
A little of both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard for a man to think that he can be a mentor to a young person, mm-hmm. maybe because he thinks he's too old, or maybe he's too young and hasn't had children of his own. So, but that doesn't get in the way of doing what they can do to be a big.
Right. I think I wrote in the article, it's just somebody to roll life's challenges and questions off of in the process of enjoying each other's company. Would that be safe?
That's exactly. That's very well done.
Okay. And Linda, what's the screening process to protect everyone in the program?
So screening process starts with obviously an application that you can pick up from our offices or online. We have a website, bigsofnc.org, mm-hmm. and you can contact us through the website, or you can give us a call here or in Truckee. You start out by filling out a lot of forms, mm-hmm. really a lot of forms, your interests and your skills, and then There's a process of fingerprinting, of course, and background checks. Mm-hmm. And so because we have to be careful that the sure. person that we're enrolling sure. with this, you know, cherished child, mm-hmm. you know, we have to have a person who is a really great adult mm-hmm. to be in their lives. And so the process does take a little while, and there are some interviews, and eventually you are interviewed by the child that you've been matched with. Mm. When I was a big sister, I was introduced to my little sister-to-be, and we sat and we chatted, and we both realized that we both loved the color blue. Mm. And this was just, as far as she was concerned, that was it. And when she was asked by the Big Brothers representative, Big Brothers Big Sisters representative who was with us at the time, you know, well, what do you think? Would you like Lindy to be your big sister? And she just said, absolutely yes. Oh, and so we were matched right there. It was great. But it did take a little while. Mm-hmm. And people have to realize that it's important that we do take our time and we're careful, careful.
So you look at the forms. Does the child and the parent fill out a form?
They do.
What their interests are?
Yes, they do. Okay. We have a child's form that obviously has more child's questions on it.
All right.
That's how it works.
So how many people are you short? Or do you know?
You never have enough.
You never have enough.
That's the right answer.
Good answer.
If we could have a dozen more men today, we would have matches for them.
Okay.
And if we had 50 more men today, we'd probably have matches too.
Okay.
Yes.
And Gordon, you have some events coming up. So why don't you tell us about what's on the plate here coming up in the near future?
Well, Lindy has a lot of the specifics, but the big one coming up is Bowl for Kids' Sake mm-hmm. on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And we're looking for sponsors who mm-hmm. would like to help us with the event. And we're also looking for teams to bowl. So it would be really fun to have KVMR have a bowling team come mm-hmm. and have our competitor KNCO get a bowling team to come, and we can see who's the best bowlers.
So do the littles get involved in Bowl for Kids' Sake? Do they have their own teams?
Yeah, we have times for the bigs and littles to bowl together.
Okay.
And then we get to bowl with other littles that we don't know and other bigs that I don't know. So it is fun. It's fun for everybody.
And the date of that again?
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Which is seven
March 17th.
March 17th.
And we have three sessions. It starts at 3 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Then we have about a 5 o'clock session. Mm-hmm. And then we have a later session. And the first two sessions, you are where the bigs and the littles are. The last session, we usually don't have little children with us.
Okay.
So it's a costume party, which is even more fun.
Dress up as an adult.
Leprechauns. No, leprechauns is
yeah. Okay. So you can have if we have a private firm, let's say there's a firm out there that's saying they'd like to put a bowling team together, all four of them will bowl together.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then they pay some money to help sponsor them.
They do, yes.
And then also you have a ride. Is it a bicycle ride? What do you have coming up?
It is. It's the Gourmet Gravel Nevada City ride, and that's on Mother's Day weekend. It's actually not Mother's Day, but it's the day before, May 12th. And we are collaborating and partnering with Gourmet Gravel for this ride, and it's multi-terrain bicycle ride through Nevada County, sort of towards Washington, through Malakoff, up that way, through around Purdon, down by the river. It's a little bit of all sorts of, you know, it's not single track. It's not that kind of a ride, but it's we're actually going to have it photographed from with a drone this year. So just making arrangements for that.
So if you have a bicycle, you just pay an entrance fee, and that's the funding that you're looking for.
That's exactly it.
Okay, and that's May 12th. Mm-hmm. And then we are speaking with Gordon Beattie, board president, and Lindy Shasipan. Okay, I should know that. But and your contact information, please?
You can reach the office at 530-265-2059, or you can reach us on our through the website, and that's Biggs, B-I-G-S-O-F-N-C, like Biggs of Nevada County, www.thetwoundedheart.org. That's how you can reach us.
Okay, and I've decided, actually, after meeting with you guys, that I'm going to become another big brother. Don't thank me. I mean, it's our, kind of our duty. And I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Great.
So, great. Linda Pfaffinger. Right?
No. That's Susie Pfaffinger.
Susie Pfaffinger. Okay.
She is the person who would be doing all the interviewing and matching.
Okay.
She's a great person, has been with our organization for a very long time. We're lucky to have her.
Okay, so we're speaking with Gordon and Lindy, the Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
Just that, some nitty-gritty. It costs $1,200 for one child to be in our program for a year. And we're looking to sponsors in the community to sponsor one child. And a $1,200 commitment is what we are asking for.
Okay, great.
So, just give us a call and write us a check.
There you go.
That would be wonderful.
Well,
really
I want to thank
wonderful.
You for coming on the show today. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, Mark, so much. We really appreciate
my pleasure.
This.
Thank You're listening you. To Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back. And Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Nevada County. National organization, I'm sure you can find them, but their website, again, is bigsofnc.org. Okay, there you go. And, it brought a lot of joy to my life. It's just something. I remember why I did it. It was because, I was donating money, and something said, Mark, that's too easy. You have to give your time, because my time is very valuable, and it was back then. So I just felt that if I really meant to give back, I should give my time back. And it was very, very rewarding. Bigsofnc.org and the phone number 530-265-2059. I guarantee you, you're going to have a wonderful, heartwarming time. So since this is Money Matters, we're talking about the stock market. Wow. Can you believe it? We're at 26,051.57. Down 64 today, but as mentioned on every show, these large numbers, 22, 23, 24, 25,000, 26,000 on the Dow, our major support and resistant levels, and support would be that if we're above a big number of like above 25,000 or above 26,000, there's support at the major round number, 25,000 or 26,000. And if we're below it, it always takes a little bit to punch through, right? Like punching through the glass ceiling. And we did punch through. Yesterday, we punched through 26,000 down 64. So there's three things that we kind of look at. This is technical analysis, of course. Past performance does not guarantee future results. So it's just, these are just theories. But it closed for the day over 26,000. So that's a sign that technicians look at. And then if it closes for the week at over 26,000, that would be an increasing, encouraging sign. And then if it closes the month over 26,000. So we'll see if it can hold it. It definitely held it yesterday, and it's holding it today. It's bouncing around there, and we could kind of expect it to bounce it around. These big numbers, you know, they kind of test out these numbers and see. So, like I said, no matter what you think of Trump, the market seems to love him. And so what does that tell you? You know, you don't know really what a market the business people in the market think of a president until the next president comes in. Because normally it's thought that businesses are really not going to badmouth a sitting president for fear of retribution. But as soon as Trump got elected, you saw the Dow just take off. And it was down 17,000 mids, 17,000 if my memory serves me best. And since then, it's been straight up. I mean, wow, huh? So we're going on, more than a year, November to November, yeah, about a year and 3 months. So we'll keep an eye on that. And it's interesting. Since the Trump presidency, there is little argument that the stock markets of the world have been positive, and they love him. Despite what you think. In 2017, we did hit some milestones, and they're worth noting because Trump was in there, you know, for the whole time. He was inaugurated in the beginning of 2017, president-elect November 2016. And although Trump himself might take credit for all of this, political rhetoric is far from truth. We can say that the markets like it. That's all we can say. The following statistics are taken from Bloomberg for 2017. The Dow has reached new highs in 2017, as well as most of the other indexes. And here we are, 2018, and reached new highs again. Specifically, the Dow cracked into new territory 69 times in 2017. 69 times. With little looking back, the chart of the various stock markets is kind of just global-wide. Looked like the trajectory of a ballistic missile. Common contrarian assets that move up when the market falls and has a tendency to fall when the markets rise, not always, but have a tendency to. These are called, at least I call them contrarian assets, like fixed income. Fixed income might be bonds and preferred stocks and things that pay what we call a coupon rate, an interest rate. You buy a bond, it says 3% or 2%. But common contrarian assets like fixed income have languished. They have been hurt a little bit in some. And somebody could argue that this is in keeping with how markets move. Fixed income has a tendency to generally sell off when markets run and have a tendency to rise when markets fall. Now, it's not always, so you can't bet in that direction. You can't bet in any direction with these markets, but fixed income tends to move in the opposite direction when investors are giddy with the stock market, and apparently they're giddy with the stock market. So Chinese stocks had the most stocks considered as best performers, the number of stocks. So the Chinese stocks had the most that were considered best. The so-called fear index, there is a fear index. It's called the VIX. It measures volatility. We call it the fear index. When things get dicey, that rises. And when things are, happy and jelly beans and marshmallows are falling from the sky and the stock market is rising, the VIX has a tendency to fall, and it has plummeted to a new low. And I think it's near historic low, and it looks much like the Dow, but in the opposite direction, straight down, which means down followed by more down. Global corporations broke the record for participating in bonds. In other words, global corporations went out and borrowed a lot of money. That was a record as well, global. And it especially was emphasized green investments. So in other words, green investments, green bonds, made a record. And so the planet let out a sigh of relief in 2017. We'll see if that continues. European corporations, those across the pond, issued a record 96 billion euros in high-yield debt. We call that junk debt market. Those are companies that are kind of near the surface as far as financial safety is concerned. We call that high yield. They have to pay more yield on their debt because they're a little bit more risky. We do refer to those as junk bonds in some circles. European corporations issued 96 billion euros in junk bonds or high-yield debt in 2017. This was attributed to record low interest rates. Obviously, if interest rates are low, it's cheaper to borrow money. And it's also attributed to a favorable business climate. Obviously, the market keeps rising. Global corporate bonds in general outpaced all other bonds at $2.5 trillion issued in 2017. Holy macro, that's a lot of money. Unemployment eased to 15-year lows in the U.S., Japan, Hong Kong, Israel, the U.K., and Portugal. Unemployment eased to 15-year lows in 2017. Bitcoin, oh man, what can we say about Bitcoin? Bitcoin's market cap outpaced all but 12 companies in the S&P 500. In other words, how much money went into Bitcoin. Total it all up, and they were more than but 12 companies in the S&P 500. It had a 1,752% gain in value in 2017. And we'll talk a little bit more about Bitcoin. It kind of sold off last couple of days. A digital asset, Bitcoin is, and as well as the other digital assets that I call are digital money. Other 2017 notables records include the largest equity buyout was accomplished by Apollo Global Management with a whopping $24.6 billion in funds. So there was a buyout. One company bought out another, or one investment firm bought a company. $24.6 billion went out the door for a record. And Hong Kong residential property continued to hold the valuation record as the most expensive real estate on the planet. In 2017, Hong Kong real estate. 17 Atlantic storms were big enough to be given names are reported to have caused the largest insurance losses on record. This again from Bloomberg, of course. 17 Atlantic storms wiped out the biggest amount of damage money-wise in 2017. And the U.S. student loan market, something we've talked about on this show before, as well as auto debt, but this specific record, U.S. student loan market exceeded the total amount of high-yield corporate debt in the world, which boils down to a heck of a lot of money is owed by college grads and attendees. Some say, and I've mentioned this could be another crisis in the making along with subprime auto debt. There's a lot of student debt. There's a lot of subprime auto debt, not just auto debt, subprime. In other words, loans taken out by people with less than favorable credit. 2017 also witnessed a world of excesses in the art world. Leonardo da Vinci's Salvador Mundi fetched the highest price ever paid for a painting sold at auction with a price tag of $450.3 million. What? That's a half a billion dollars. Give me a break. Wow. Salvador Mundi, almost half a billion dollars for that painting. And it was a record. Sold at auction, all in all. There have been worse years in the market, of course. And while 2017 doesn't hold all the records, the year has certainly been exciting for investors and companies alike, right? And so there you go. And we're going to cover Bitcoin in just a second. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters on your community radio station. you're tuned to you're tuned to Buddy Matters on your community radio station. We're in money. Yeah. Bitcoin. You know, what can I say? People ask me about it, and I waited a long time to start writing about it. I don't own any. I haven't owned any. But it's, you know, I covered it last show, and I'll cover it again. But I'll cover it in a different type of spin. Bitcoin, I think, ran up to 20 grand, and then it got hacked in half. I think it went down to 9, and then it recovered. It's up in the 12s. I don't know where it is today. I don't follow it daily, but I will look at it. The articles are saying, you know, but you know, currency is supposed to be a store of value. You know, you pick some apples and you give your apples to somebody, and he doesn't have his oranges ready yet, so he gives you currency. He gives you a receipt, but for all intents and purposes, currency. And then you come back and you buy. When his oranges come to fruition, let's say you give him 10 pounds of apples, and then you come back and you buy 10 pounds of oranges with your currency. And so you can come back a year later, and he could still buy your apples with it. It stores the value of your apples in the currency, and hopefully a store of value that doesn't go to zero like a Mexican peso. Well, in this particular case in Bitcoin, you know, buy some apples last year, you get 5 Bitcoin that was worth 10 apples, and you know, last month it was worth, you know, 10,000 apples. So is that a store of value? Well, I don't know. Maybe for the guy possessing the Bitcoin is. But what about the guy that gave you, that took your 10 apples, now he's going to pay with 10,000 oranges? You know, his store of value, you know, definitely, you know, he definitely didn't maintain his value. So it really just depends. I know he's already given you his oranges, but in essence, you could go back to him again and say, hey, that Bitcoin that you gave me, or that what I call a cyber currency, digital currency, goes back, he's got to cough up a whole lot more. So when you look at the chart of Bitcoin, and I have that, I think, on my website, you know, it's anything but stable. I mean, sure, everybody's buying it because it's going up in value, but that's not really the characteristics of a currency, right? Currencies can move, but when they go up, you know, 17,052% in a year, that is not stable as far as I'm concerned. So that, to me, that's a gamble. It's a speculation. And, of course, anybody that bought it at 20,000 is looking at a 50% loss in, what, a couple of days. So now I wrote this article entitled, "Has Bitcoin Removed Some of Gold's Luster?" Okay, now gold has many functions, obviously, both industrially and monetarily, as a currency or as a store of value. In industry, we all know gold has many unique properties. It is an amazing metal. It's extremely corrosion resistant. You can bury it under the ocean for 20,000 years or bury it in the dirt. And indeed, we did find a hoard of gold coins here in Nevada County 4, 5, 6 years ago that had been buried in a coffee can. And you blow the dust off them and brush off the coins, and whether they're under the sea in salt water or in dirt, they survive. How many other metals can do that, right? They're durable. So durable. They're malleable. Malleable means, you know, you can take an ounce of gold and stretch it into like 5 miles worth of thread. Malleable. It moves around. You can stretch it. It stretches. It's an amazing metal. It's conductive. We see a lot of gold-plated connectors. And it's obviously a thing of beauty. Gold serves as an electronic component. You know, it has medicinal qualities, so we are told. You know, obviously, it's used in jewelry, and some even claim has magical qualities. As a monetary alternative, historically, it has had few equals because of its durability, and it's rare. You can't just go out and dig it up easily. Many paper currencies have been backed by gold, or based on gold, or tied to gold in some way or another historically. Even mighty governments, including our own, stockpile gold for monetary and economic reasons, although they kind of poo-poo that, they still do it. Many investors perceive gold as the only real money. And it is said a gold coin in your hand is the ultimate in isolation from currency printing governments. In other words, when you hold a gold coin, it doesn't matter what the U.S. does with the dollar or the Mexican peso. It doesn't matter what Mexican government does with the Mexican peso. Gold is in your hand. It's not going away. Gold is usually bought in times of economic fear. both economically, of course, you buy it when you think the dollar is going to zero or the Mexican peso is going to zero. I know my relatives in Japan, they have a lot of it. Or otherwise, maybe just because you're paranoid the world's going to go into World War III, you might buy gold. And it has been considered by some a viable diversification in many portfolios. Guy holds stocks, bonds, and some people hold gold. Gold pays no interest in its physical form, right? You hold a piece of gold, it won't pay any interest. It's just like a dollar. People say that gold pays no interest, but either does a dollar bill in your wallet. It doesn't pay any interest unless you put it in a bank. Gold is no one's promise to pay as a paper currency. Paper currency is a promise that they won't overprint it, that it'll always have value, and its value can be destroyed or tripled or doubled or like maybe Bitcoin. Look at Bitcoin, right? Gold is recognizable worldwide. You can go anywhere and people know what it is. And it is said it's the only thing that enemies will trade with each other at time of war. They won't trade anything else, but they'll trade gold because of its inherent value. It cannot be printed at will by government, so it is immune from what we call monetary inflation, which is inflation brought on by overprinting of a currency. Monetary inflation is like a Mexican peso. They print so many of them, the Mexican peso doesn't buy as much as it did a period ago, like a year ago or whatever. Gold has basically filled need for those who distrust governments and monetary authorities. People don't trust governments, so the central banks are going to keep printing up dollars, so you'll see inflation, so they can print those up at will. And it has filled a need for those who are afraid of that or distrust governments. And some governments can possibly destroy or at least erode the purchasing power of those holding such currencies. So if you hold a lot of Mexican pesos, they may not be able to buy as much next year. I'm not trashing the Mexican peso. You can trade it, and people do. But it's just something in your mind. Most people will recognize Mexican peso as what they know has had some problems. Not to say gold doesn't have its risks, right? Gold has risks. It can drop in value, of course. All investments can be said to bear some risks, whether they be from organic supply and demand. In other words, if somebody was to discover 5 billion tons of gold, of course, then gold would probably drop in value because the supply went up. The risk of government interference, in other words, the government can say you can't own gold anymore, then you'd have to get rid of it. And with so many people getting rid of it, its price would likely drop. And that happened, I think, in 1930, right after the Depression, 1931, I think it was, I think it was 32, maybe. I should know that, but I don't. It's also subject to interest rate or general market risk. Interest rate risk, if interest rate goes up, sometimes people will say, well, interest rates go up, you can get more money in the bank, and gold doesn't pay you interest, so I'm going to hold gold coins. It also has a market risk. Maybe somebody just decides to sell off gold and it avalanches into a big sale. Gold has had wild swings in price in history, and the U.S. government, among others, have made its possession illegal, as I mentioned. But gold unique qualities, as thought by some to be the panacea of wealth preservation over the centuries. Indeed, people have held the steadfast belief, some people, there is no substitute for gold. Ah, but that is until cryptocurrency arrived. Since Bitcoin and other forms of cyber dollars, cybers as I will nickname them today, have become what some think a viable alternative, at least in its availability, right? It's easier to buy a Bitcoin than it is to buy an ounce of gold. Download an app on your phone. Some have begun to question me. I haven't read this in any other article, so I don't think I'm the first to think to write this, but I'm the first to see it in print, and I printed this myself. I am questioning whether gold will be superseded by the idea of a cloud-based wealth vehicle like a cyber dollar. Indeed, the market for cryptos, as I call them again, have challenged gold in sheer size and popularity. More people I know own cyber dollars or cryptos in one form or another, whether it be Ethereum or all the other ones, than own gold. I really know more people that own cyber dollars than they own gold. And one could say that in recent months, over the year, the interest in cryptos has exploded in one, what I would say would be like a mania. Frenzy. I mean, I'm asked about cryptos in the gym. People know who I am. They see me. They recognize me. They say, what do you think of Bitcoin? Indeed, the chart for certain cryptos, like a Bitcoin, have an eerie resemblance, at least to me, to other boom-bust trading patterns in the past. Look at the curve I put on the website, moneymanagementradio.com. That chart is more radical than tulips and real estate bull. I mean, this Bitcoin chart is like, wow. The idea of the crypto is that no one government can control them. The reason being, I'm not an expert on cryptos, but they're derived by mining them, by going through a mathematical algorithm. And once you get through all the math, you get a coin. I don't quite understand exactly how that all manifests into you owning one, but that's how it's done. And the math for mining cryptos exists on millions of computers everywhere. In other words, if you have a crypto, you have the mathematical formula on your computer. This also means that trading a crypto is virtually unstoppable because it's traded in cyberspace. Now, if you don't have access to cyberspace, obviously you can't trade it. But governments can. And the rumor is the reason we saw a big crypto fall is that some governments are looking at this. They have put a stop to anything that threatens their ability to control economic structures. In other words, governments want to control currencies. They want to control their money. Because as soon as the U.S. dollar goes broke, the government goes broke because that's what they own. That's the only thing they have power over is the creation of a U.S. dollar. They don't have power over creation of cryptos. And if they did, you'd probably see the value of a crypto go into the tank. So governments can. We saw China, I think North Korea, one of those countries came out and said, can't trade them. Shut down all the sites. And they can do that. So you can't trade it. I myself think the governments are not going to let cryptos go crazy. That's my opinion. To say that is to say, is a crypto a safe store of value? Well, it's that is a critical quality of any monetary instrument of exchange. If you're going to look at crypto like money, it's got to maintain a store of value. And with a chart that looks like a bouncing ball, a bouncing Super Bowl, does it maintain its store of value reasonably? Can the government say no more cryptos? Then what would happen? You only have to look at the price chart of various cryptos to see that their prices are anything but stable. But the perception of a cyber dollar floating around, people think that it can't be, quote, shot down. Okay? You can't shoot a crypto down because no government control it. This has proved, at least up till now, to be enough of a catalyst to garner millions of investors to trade in literally billions of dollars of their own currencies for a version of the crypto. In other words, when you buy a crypto, you buy it with dollars or whatever currency of the country you live in. So people have traded in billions of dollars of sovereign currencies for a crypto. The governments are probably not going to like that. No doubt, massive profits have also contributed to the popularity of cryptos. In other words, everybody's buying them because they just keep going up. That, my folks, sounds like a mania to me. But that thinking that it only goes up and you're going to make money and everybody's buying it, that thinking has proved fatal to many investors who bought something because it was skyrocketing in price. Tulips in the 1600s and in Holland and real estate, ostrich eggs, oil, property in Texas, Hawaii. There's been many, many bubbles, you know, dot-com bubble. The idea remains, however, that cryptos may hold similar characteristics to gold in many investors' mind. They may hold some similar characteristics. The government conspiracy groups are an obvious customer of the crypto, as well as my realization that all those techies out there have finally found an instrument that's right up their alley, right? If you're a computer techie, what better thing to buy instead of stock or gold? It's to buy crypto. It's a techie's dream. Cryptos, therefore, indeed, could steal some dollars away from the gold market. And how many dollars buy cryptos instead of gold remains to be seen. But in its truest form, cryptos do offer an interesting alternative to the reasons people hold gold. Whether the crypto market behaves itself, acts reasonably, and look at its chart and you tell me whether that's reasonable, and truly offers of store value in the long run, remains to be seen. Yesterday certainly does not verify that to me. Right now, its wild price swings should at least be a cause for concern for those investors thinking cryptos are as safe as it gets. The price charts certainly are saying something completely different to me. This analyst looks at that chart and thinks, mania, boom, bust. What can I say? Any case, remember, this is not a solicitation or a recommendation to buy or sell anything. Investing involves risk, and you can lose money. And always consult a qualified financial advisor before making any important investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. And I hope I've helped you do your own research. Listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back to close the show. Welcome back to the 263rd show, entitled Into 2018 We Go Bitcoin. Covered Bitcoin, had Big Brothers and Big Sisters on there, and covered them the market's opinion of Trump, so it's been a pleasure. Please remember that my name is Mark Cuniberti, the host of Money Matters since 2005, emanating from the studios of KVMR FM in Nevada City, California, rebroadcast on about 60 different stations throughout the United States. And our website is moneymanagementradio.com, or check the website of your local community radio station for all the fine programming and opportunities available to you through your community-based airways. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Views expressed are my opinions only, or the opinions of the guests in the studio. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, the station, staff members, or underwriters. My name's Mark. God bless. Go make some money.